Our next presenter is Neil Iorio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks to Jeff and Mandy for providing me the opportunity to speak to you guys this afternoon. I'm going to try to make this fun and hopefully lighthearted, maybe tell a few funny stories along the way. But I want to talk about a little bit the company I work for is called Lighting Science. And some of you may have heard of Lighting Science, perhaps you haven't, but we're known as a LED lighting manufacturer. And so we make replacement products for the energy wasteful incandescent lamps, which are now, you know, off the market, as well as the mercury containing compact fluorescent lights. So we're trying to create energy saving and sustainable types of products, you know, for the future. We also have worked on some custom types of projects, some of which you may have heard of. If you're familiar with the Times Square ball in New York City, that's an LED piece of art that is it works 24 hours a day, and then of course on New Year's Eve it drops to signify the beginning of the new year. Lighting Science made that. So I'm currently the director of LED agricultural lighting for Lighting Science, and my background is I'm actually a true Florida native. And some people might not see that as being significant, but it actually is for somebody my age to be known as a true Florida native, because everybody that lives in Florida is from somewhere else, honestly. So my dad worked for NASA, and so we lived near Kennedy Space Center, about 25 miles to the south. That's where I grew up. And so he was an engineer that ran a lab that created the shuttle tiles that went on the space shuttle to protect it from the heat from reentry. So he was in the thermo protection laboratory. So I grew up on the space coast of Florida, Satellite Beach High School in 1984, and then went to the local college, Florida Institute of Technology, or Florida Tech, where I received two degrees, a bachelor's and a master's degree in molecular and cellular biology. And being located near Kennedy Space Center, it gave us the opportunity to have folks that were working at Kennedy Space Center reach out to the local community to look for some people to kind of work in their programs. And so I met a couple of people from Kennedy Space Center that were just embarking on a brand new endeavor called bioregenerative life support systems. And you saw a little introduction to that from Gary Studi's presentation earlier. And so they came to our department. I was a graduate student there getting my master's degree. Met a couple of gentlemen there, Dr. Sager and Dr. Wheeler, and introduced myself to them and got to know them a little bit more, maybe did a little hounding on my part, but participated then in a research assistantship that was funded by the Space Research Institute. And that's what gave me the ability to work at Kennedy Space Center as a graduate student. So that was a fantastic opportunity to participate in that work. And it was at the very beginning of the development of that program. And so while I was in school, I was studying tissue culture and the environmental effects on in vitro grown potato plants, which had a NASA connection because we grew a lot of potato plants for NASA as part of that bioregenerative life support system. So as Gary mentioned earlier, it was using plants to keep people alive for long duration missions. Potatoes were a very high calorie crop that was important as part of that overall human candidate crop menu that was to be grown for that purpose. So the plants were providing food, they were removing carbon dioxide, they were creating oxygen at the same time, they were purifying water. So you had this, you were trying to recreate the biological systems in space for long duration missions to keep people alive. And so, this picture. If anybody's from the northeastern part of the United States, you probably remember a storm called Superstorm Sandy. Anyone, you probably are familiar with Jeff. Now it was terrible for the people in the northeastern part of the United States because it made landfall and did a lot of damage. But for us in Florida, it was awesome. So my employment, when I graduated from Florida Tech, I came on at the as a research associate at NASA's Controlled Ecological Life Support Systems, or CELS, and had a couple of different positions along the way as you're kind of, you know, growing up in your career. And at some point in that career, NASA and Space Florida, the entity for trying to develop commercial development of space opportunities, funded the building of the Space Life Sciences Lab And so I was the manager of the Controlled Environment Laboratory there. And we did a lot of really fun stuff in that lab, including maintaining the all the ground controls for everything that flew in space, including a lot of the work that Gary talked about before and his and the work that he's done. Kind of moved on with some more other payload support management. So less science, more management. So you're going to see, you're going to hear a lot of similar themes in the previous presentations about how, you know, careers are developed over time. And then we had a NASA has a process with which they hire companies to do to be contractors to support the work that they define to do. And they had they were consolidating a bunch of contracts at this time in 2010, and we had participated in competing for one of those contracts, which would have included the contract that we were currently working on, doing that bioregenerative life support system work. Unfortunately, our company didn't win that contract, and so when that happens, there's disbursement people. And it just so happened at the time we were doing a lot of collaborative work with the with Lighting Science Group, which is a local company doing LED work. They were providing unique LED technology solutions to some of the biological and research questions that we had, and they were doing research in our laboratory. So we had a really nice mutual beneficial relationship there. And so I started with them, and right at the end of 2010, December 20th of 2010, worked with them in the Advanced Projects Group, which was looking at a lot of custom projects, custom applications of LEDs. And currently I'm the director of the LED Agricultural Lighting. So we began looking at now applying LED technology for horticulture and agricultural applications. So how did this happen? I mentioned this earlier, the relationship between NASA and lighting science through mutually beneficial research projects. So the picture on the left is myself, a freshly minted 25-year-old. I was 25 years old and almost 1 month in that picture, with a colleague of mine, Lisa Segrist, harvesting lettuce plants in the biomass production chamber, which Gary showed a photo of the outside of that chamber. This is what it looked like on the inside. This picture has gotten a lot of press, and it, as old as it is, we see it, we've seen it in some textbooks, we've seen it in some other outlets, so it's really kind of interesting. So that led to bioregenerative life support systems required a conservation of energy type of approach, because in order for a mission to be successful, it had to be reduced in mass, and it had to be reduced in the amount of energy that it consumed. Yet we knew that indoor agriculture, indoor horticulture of crops required a lot of energy from the electric light system. So we began looking at LED lights in this application. In fact, we were among the very first research entity to publish papers on using LED lights for growing plants. So that work, coupled with the technology development of LEDs, has led to spectral research supporting product development, which is the position that I'm currently in at Lighting Science. So research background, now I'm in a manufacturing company. So that's a very unique position to be in. Current responsibilities, as I mentioned, Director of LED Agricultural Lighting, and that includes a number of hats. So another common theme here, lots of hats being worn. Product manager for the product for LED product development. Technical subject matter expertise for emerging markets. LEDs are not everywhere in agriculture or horticulture, certainly. It's brand new technology being applied here. I'm a field application engineer, although I'm not an engineer. I'm involved in sales and marketing, controlled environment crop production applications. And when you think of LED grow products or other electrical lighting products, I think a lot of people come to the same conclusion. They think about growing cannabis. And that's exactly what we are participating in indirectly through our product reps in states where this crop is legal to be grown and sold. So LED technology offers the following features. It's solid state and long life. You can change the spectrum. You can alter the spectrum. You can modify it to be whatever that spectrum needs to be for the desired outcome of your crop. There's not a lot of heat in the spectrum, so you have additional energy savings on top of, well, the LEDs are energy efficient, but you also have reduced heat load, so your system energy savings goes down significantly. So it is a very attractive technology for this application. And one of my favorite quotes by Mark Twain is, during the gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. And we are certainly in a situation like that now. In fact, I'm agnostic to the plants that we grow under LEDs. This just happens to be one that's getting a lot of attention right now and has a huge market potential. So we are pick and shovel manufacturers during a green rush. I'm going to start this slide with I hope to be a funny story, and I hope not at the expense of my good friend and colleague, Gary Studi. Gary and I have been friends for a long time, and he has two sons, and when I met them, they were about 6 and 4. And the younger one, Josh, who was 4, see him from time to time. We'd get together, you know, after work and do things. And I think aside from the time we shot your shed with the potato gun, I hadn't seen him in a little while. And he turned 16, you know, eventually, and was a high school student eligible to be hired as a summer intern. And so he came to work one day. I didn't even have to interview him because it's Gary's son, Josh. Josh comes in one day, sits down in my office. I give him the same speech I give all the interns that come in, which is basically the outline of the slide. But the very first thing I noticed when Josh sat down in front of me was he had a mohawk. And so I said, I went through my kind of orientation process with him, and I went into Gary's office, and I said, Josh has a mohawk, and I'm going to kind of ask him maybe to kind of tone that down a little bit, because my orientation speech is about being a professional, being viewed as a professional, working in a professional environment. So I go back, and so Gary's response to me was, you're his boss. Do what you need to do. So I went to Josh and kind of had this slide. So I'll go through this. I told him about being a professional and behaving professionally, and that this is a professional environment that you're working in. And although I appreciate his individuality and freedom of expression, that I thought perhaps it might be a good idea for him to maybe back off on that a little bit. And so the next day, Josh comes to work, and there was still a mohawk, but it was less. And so I thanked him, and I appreciated him for meeting me halfway. And I'll have to say, though, that Josh is now a grown man, and he has come back to me for a reference for a job, and he is now, as a man, graduated from college, out saving the world. So I feel especially proud that I was his first professional supervisor, and to this day he's doing very honorable things with that. So on back onto internships. These are a gold mine for young people, for students, undergrads and graduate students alike, to use these as opportunities to get your foot in the door. The internship you should look at, you shouldn't be too specific or too selective. You should find something in the general category. And I think that's a general theme you've heard with some of the other presenters, is that don't be too selective, because you might miss out on something that you might not even know you like doing. You want to get your foot in the door, and it's the opportunity to make those contacts, those professional contacts. In the case of our internships, the students got paid, a modest stipend, if you will, for their time. But I would tell them, I said, the money is not important. This is not a paycheck. You should not even look at the paycheck. You shouldn't even care that you're getting paid. What you are being paid in is the opportunity to work in this professional environment. Not to mention the fact that you, in that environment, working with scientists and potentially future colleagues, they're test driving you. So this is a test drive. It's not an interview. Is a 1 or 2 hour opportunity to sell yourself to a future employer. An internship is a test drive. And at the end of that test drive, that employer is going to either buy you or not, or he's going to be able to provide recommendations for you for future opportunities with colleagues that person may have networked with. So Making professional contacts is a common theme here for job references and job opportunities. You want to act professionally, you want to treat others professionally, and you demand to be treated professionally as a result of that behavior. You want to be involved in a lot of career networking, participating in professional meetings. I think everybody has suggested that. You want to learn as much about the other support roles in your field. And I think Roland's presentation actually presented that well. He has a lot of different experiences, and he works with a lot of different people. And you have to know enough about those other disciplines that support is what you're doing to be productive, to have productive conversations. And just because you didn't take an engineering class in school or you got a C in physics like I did, doesn't mean you can't work with those people to this, you know, now in your professional career. You want to be very adaptable and willing to do just about anything, because that is also a character feature that bodes well for you when it comes to time to get a reference from somebody. You want to be respectfully tenacious, and I think that is also if you're a shy person, you need to overcome that in the sense that you're able to talk to people, be able to introduce yourself to people. Don't pretend like you know anything, and don't pretend like people are going to expect you to know everything. Be honest about everything you say and do, because if you're not, it will be obvious to that person you're communicating with. And so you always want to look for opportunities to advance internally and externally. Every time I meet a person and I shake their hand and I meet them for the first time and I introduce myself to them, I am interviewing for a job. We all are interviewing for a job every time we meet somebody. So keep that in mind. That's how you present yourself to others. So success is not only partly what you know, but it's mostly who you know. And I think everyone's heard that saying before, and it is very true. So some other advice. Don't lose sight of technology. Technology is always changing and always evolving over time. And if you are not keeping an eye on technology, you are limiting yourself to the types of tools available to you to advance your career. So in this case, I show a couple of pictures of an indoor cannabis growing facility. So it's actually exemplifying two different things. One of them is LED technology, which is new and being applied to this this industry. But it's also looking at a significant movement in this country. And again, I'm not advocating this in any way whatsoever, but it is happening. And it's medical marijuana is legal in 22 states, and it's federally legal in Canada. So in Florida, where I'm native to, it's on the ballot in November, and it will pass. It's already got over 70% approval rating in all the polls statewide. So it's not that this is something that's going to take over the world, but we are living in a time where we're seeing a huge revolution from an industry perspective, where it's something that has been suppressed by significant industry lobbies toward the government, and that is beginning to, that the minds and the feelings of people in our country are beginning to change. And it's that adaptability and that change that we're witnessing that's happening that provides career opportunities for people going forward with this. And also value your professional relationships, again, a common theme. And so there's a picture again of myself and Lisa in the biomass production chamber in October of 1991. And there's a picture of her and I again just a few months ago. We went to a pub and had a couple of beers. I'm probably being kind with three beers. I'm sure it was many more than that. But and by the way, that's the first selfie. So again, getting back to the technology, keeping up with technology, that's the very first selfie I've ever taken with my cell phone. So I'm honored that it's with my good friend Lisa. So that's it. Are there any questions? All right.